The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network on News.
The charity Breakthrough Cancer Research is celebrating 10 years this month, and they're going to focus their future research funding on Ireland's seven most difficult to treat and deadliest cancers. Orla Dolan is the CEO of the charity, and she joins me now on the line. Morning, Orla.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. And as well as Orla, we are joined as well by Pamela Deasy, who is a cancer survivor, to talk about her own experience of the disease. Morning, Pamela.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Pamela, you were diagnosed a number of years ago with pancreatic cancer.
Yes, I suppose. My journey started in 2018. For a few months, I wasn't feeling well. I was having stomach issues and severe tiredness. I'd leave work, I'd go home, I'd have to go to sleep for an hour to get up then and do whatever had to be done for the evening. But it was just constant tiredness. And I went to see doctors, and it was, you know, young doctors, I suppose, who were covering for the other doctors. So I was being given tablets and told that I had tummy issues and that I was grand, and there was nothing, you know, untoward or anything. And coming up to Christmas, I suppose, of December 2018, I was just feeling miserable. To go, like, to walk from my car to work was an issue. Everything was just getting on top of me, I suppose. And I went in to see my regular doctor, and she took one look at me and she said, I think we need to send you for tests. So I didn't think anything of it. I just said, fine. I was just feeling so miserable. So I went into hospital on the 7th of December 2018 at lunchtime, and I had scans and bloods and everything done. And I got my diagnosis at 9:45 that night on the 7th of December.
What was your reaction when you got the diagnosis?
Shock, I suppose. First thing that came into my head is that's a game over when I heard the word pancreatic, because I suppose you'd hear of different people getting pancreatic cancer, and unfortunately the survival rate is so low. And that was my first reaction, was that that's it, start getting my affairs in order. And I ended up in hospital, I suppose, for a week, having all the other tests done and getting a port put in where I was going to get my chemo. But because my bilirubin levels were so high, because I had jaundice when I went into the hospital, I had to wait a month before I started my chemotherapy. And I remember going home from hospital and I writing everything down. I went into practical mode and wrote down the passwords for the bank accounts, you know, the mortgage, the insurance, all the things, and the dates and everything like that. And thankfully, that was one morning when I did all that. I have never looked at that book since.
And what did they do in terms of treatment then, Pamela? Was it all chemo and radio, or did you require surgery?
I started then, I suppose, my bilirubin levels had come down the week before, the 15th of January 2019. So I started with chemotherapy on the 16th of January. So I would go to the hospital in the morning at 8, and I'd normally be hooked up by 11. I would leave the hospital around 5:30 or 6 after getting 5 or 6 various drugs with a pump attached to me for the next 72 hours. So I would return to the hospital on the Friday and have the pump disconnected. And I remember coming home the first morning and saying, I don't know what people are on about. This is not so bad. And I had my dinner and I was fine for the next week or so. But by the third session, I was falling over and my balance was affected and loads of other things. My tumour hadn't shrunk after my chemotherapy, so then they decided I'd have a combined course of radiotherapy and gembitazine once a week. So I started that, I suppose, in April, and I finished it in May. And I knew at that stage I should have been in hospital myself. I was so miserable, but my main aim was not to end up inside in the ward in the hospital, because my mum had passed away in that ward, and I just didn't want to, you know, face back in there. So I had finished my treatment and I ended up inside in two hospitals in Cork for the next 6 weeks. And then after that, I went to the CUH where I had Whipple surgery on the 15th of August. And that surgery was 11.5 hours, where they removed a piece of my spleen and my gallbladder and my pancreas, my stomach, my intestine. So it was like a rewiring and a replumbing of a human being, I was told. And I got the all clear, I suppose, in September. And thankfully, since that date, I go back for my 6-month checkups. But thankfully, you know, everything is good.
And of course, anybody who has been through it or has a loved one who has been through it knows that you there's those two main phases. There's telling me that there's clean margins and you got everything immediately after the surgery. And then there's the first checkup and the 6 month and then the 2 yearly and the 5 year and all the rest of it. As you now stand, all of those are clear.
All of those are clear. I suppose there's always going to be that scanxiety that's used, that coming up to your time of going for your scans and everything, that, you know, there is that worry at the back of your head, but you just have to push it to the back of your head, because if you think about it, you will go crazy. So as I stand, I say that I'm cancer free. And I got on board, I suppose, with Breakthrough Cancer earlier on this year, because as pancreatic cancer is one of the deadly cancers that I certainly did not expect to survive. I wanted to be able to help and be, voice for patients. And, you know, it's due to the likes of research. I suppose if I had got my diagnosis 10 years ago, I possibly would not be here. So it's, you know, these charities that require funding and stuff, it is being put to good use. And thankfully, through research, I'm able to say that I'm here.
Well, congratulations and long may it continue. I think that may be one of the things that when people hear cancer, there's a sort of a sense that it is intractable and that there is little that can be done and little in the way of advancement. Whereas, of course, the absolute opposite is the case. There have been huge leaps made. And as I said, Orla Dolan, the CEO of Breakthrough Cancer Research, is with us. Orla, will you give us a sense of the kind of leaps that we've seen over the 10 years of the charity's existence and what you see as the next set of challenges?
Well, you know, I suppose there has been significant improvement in many cancers and then others way out in front. So even beyond in our tenure, you've seen things like breast cancer, prostate cancer, testicular cancer. Their survival rates rise and double in 50 years. And so, you know, you're talking 99% survival for testicular cancer in the upper 90s for prostate. But I suppose we've always focused on what we would term low survival or poor prognosis cancers. So the ones that just haven't seen the improvement, typically they have things in common in that they're diagnosed very late. The symptoms, like Pamela was discussing earlier, can be sometimes vague and put down to something else. And therefore, the cancer is very well advanced by the time they're caught. But we have seen some improvements, but we need to see more because we need to just put more investment into them. And I suppose that's what we're talking about in our new 5-year strategy is if we look around, there's 200,000 cancer survivors in the country now. And that's born off the back of research that's brought treatments through over the years. There's nothing to stop us doing that for these harder to treat cancers if we put good ideas, investment and time into them. So I suppose that's the next chapter. You know, we've seen things like immunotherapy come through in more recent years, and that has been transformative, but it's only working for maybe 20-30% of patients across certain cancers. So how do we unlock that for more people? So I suppose that's kind of the new future, is how are we overcoming the ability of the different cancers to resist the treatments that are there? How are we making things more personalized so the side effects are different, finding new targets? I mean, it's a complex disease, but it's definitely crackable if we keep doing research and giving it the time and money it deserves.
How significant is the research that is done in Ireland by comparison to international?
It's very significant. I mean, ideas have no borders, and but I suppose the cancer research community is part of an international collective and everybody shares their, you know, results internationally. But I mean, like the ideas of that immunotherapy was born out of, some of those ideas came out of Ireland, which was like, okay, we can link the ability of somebody's immune system to fight the cancer to survival, which sets you off on a path to say, this is a way we're going to enhance it. Or earlier this year, we had a clinical trial open up that we had funded research into for 10 years, trying to figure out why certain cancers can overcome chemotherapy. And that work was being done here, and there was kind of complementary work being done in the US. So, you know, it's all about ideas, and they can happen anywhere in the world. I suppose, you know, sometimes it's in part of the Irish psyche to celebrate things that happen in other countries more than we celebrate things that happen here in Ireland. But I'm always buoyed when I talk to the researchers about the quality of the research, the amazing ideas, and then the passion behind it, the commitment to doing it so that patients benefit in the end. And I think that gets me up in the morning anyway.
You got a text saying, fantastic charity golf event for Breakthrough Cancer Research last week. Orla's talk about their research into the toughest cancers was moving and truly amazing. Thank you to all the team for your incredible work. And I suppose that does bring up the point, Orla, that you are, of course, a charity and need to raise funds. So if people have been listening and want to support you, where do they go?
So the best place to go is our website, breakthroughcancerresearch.ie, and we are 100% funded by the generosity of the public. And, you know, I suppose we passionately believe that we can change things, that we don't want families to ever be told there's nothing or left to try or there's no other option. And the only way we change that is to research. And people can be part of driving that forward by supporting research here in Ireland through us and getting it into like these deadliest cancers that are causing half the deaths in Ireland. And we're confident we can change that, and we'll do it with the support of the general public. That's the way we've done it already.
Orla, thank you very much for coming on this morning. And before I let you both go, Pamela, you told us about your prognosis and your current diagnosis. The thing I didn't ask is, how do you actually feel? Are you well currently?
I am, I suppose, Anton. My oncologist wouldn't let me go back, won't send me back for work yet. I would have probably a lot of issues with my balance still would be affected, and I would have a lot of digestive problems, I suppose, but that's part of that surgery that I had. And my surgeon told me it would be 3 years, I suppose, before I'd feel any bit okay. And like that's coming up to 3 years now, and I can see a massive improvement of myself in the last year. Probably for the first 2 years, I go a step forward and two steps back, and that's the way it was for about 2 years. So when he said I couldn't go back to work, I said I might think about doing something different, and I would like to maybe help cancer patients down the line as well. I would like to do. So currently I am sitting in UCC in a room. I started in the 26th of September. I'm doing religious and global diversity, a 3-year course, and I am in a tutorial that I had to skip out of for 10 minutes. So I hope that I won't be ticked off as not attending.
Well, I was going to say, we don't blame us for your academic problems if this doesn't go well at the end of this tutorial.
Yes. So it's just like, you know, I'm so grateful, I suppose, that, you know, I have a chance and I'm able to tell the tale. I turned 50 in May, a date that I didn't think I'd see. So I have a lot to be grateful for. And it's just thanks to research, I suppose, basically, that I probably would not be here only for it.
Well, we wish you good health, Pamela. Thank you very much for coming on this morning. That is Pamela DC, cancer survivor, and Orla Dolan before her, CEO of Breakthrough Cancer Research.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.